Reading from Genesis 45, verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and the Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified in his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be a plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it is not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded to me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly." Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him.
Thanks, hon. And the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. We thank you for the lessons your word teaches us and the truth your word teaches us, because your word is truth, given to us by inspiration by your Holy Spirit, so that we may know you and live in a way that honors you. So today, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts, show us ourselves. In light of your truth, show us, Lord, how you want us to respond to your word this morning, that when we leave here today, we will know that we have heard from you. We have taken your word, and not only just heard it, but you call us in James to do what it says, and not just to be hearers of the word, but doers also. So, Lord, help us, Lord, from your word today, to live for you in a way that pleases and honors you, through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen. If you've ever been to an airport and maybe you're flying, waiting for someone to get off a plane, and someone who's been a family member who's been on a trip for a long time and you haven't seen them, and you're at the airport and you're watching for the person to get off of the plane, the jetway, and you're waiting and you're waiting and for the person to come off, and you say, "Did I see him yet?" And when you see him after that separation, you grab a hold of their arms and you give them a big hug. Some of the most touching things to me is when I see things like this. When I see a military man that has come home, or a wife that has come home from service after a time of separation and deployment, and to see that reuniting of the family once again, and the reunion after a time of separation. And when there's a time of separation between loved ones and a family, or between family, and that reuniting again, can't that bring joy and tears and emotion? At that reunion, that restoration of the separation that had been there. Today, we come to that point in the relationship with Joseph and his family. After 22 years of when Joseph was sold by his brothers into Egypt into slavery, We now come to the point of the story where they are reunited again and the family is restored and brought back together. After what we had seen in the scripture last time together, whenever Joseph had given them that test and was testing them to see if they had been faithful, if they had been truly repentant and sorry for what they had done to him, Judah made that appeal for Benjamin's life. And whenever the silver was put into Benjamin's sack and Benjamin was going to be kept as a slave, and Judah made that heartfelt appeal before Joseph for Benjamin's life. And Joseph had seen that they were truly repentant and they actually cared for Benjamin and they cared for one another. Joseph couldn't stand it any longer. And the chapter opens up where he tells everybody to get out of the room. And he then tells them and reveals who he is, that he was Joseph. At first, they didn't believe it. At first, they were fearful. And they didn't know how to respond to this. But Joseph reassured them of who he was and of his love for them. And the family was restored and reunited after a time of separation. This morning, we want to look at that attitude that Joseph displayed in his heart, because it would have been easy for him to make the brothers pay. But instead, he had an attitude to restore and to bring the family back together again. And there may be times in your life and mine when people have wronged us, people have hurt you, and you want to make them pay, and you want to make them get even. But Joseph didn't demonstrate that kind of attitude. He demonstrated the attitude that is pleasing to the Lord because he loved the Lord. And the attitude that we need to have as well. If there's broken relationships in your life, if there's people you need to be restored to, we can learn from Joseph this morning the kind of attitude that we need to demonstrate. And an attitude that restores us is first an attitude of forgiveness. Whenever Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, it says here, he said, "I am Joseph, the one you have sold into slavery in Egypt." Verse 5, he said, "And now don't be distressed. Don't be angry with yourselves." The brothers were terrified in his presence. They are afraid, oh no, what's Joseph going to do? He has this authority. He has this power over us. What's he going to do? But Joseph demonstrated an attitude of forgiveness. And he, even in spite of all his treatment, that last time that they had mistreated him, they had sold him into slavery, they had mistreated him horribly, but yet he demonstrated an attitude of forgiveness and love. Now, could you have faulted Joseph? He would have said, "Well, I'm going to make you guys pay. You sold me into slavery. You treated me harshly. I'm really going to make you guys pay now." Would you have faulted Joseph for that? Any one of us probably would have wanted to do that, right? And it would have been quite natural to do that. Most people would have had the attitude that says, "I'm going to make these guys pay. I'm going to make sure they get what they deserve now. After how they treated me, after what they've done to me, after what they said about me, after how I was treated, I'm really going to make them pay now. Boy, they know I'm Joseph now. They know I got this power. Boy, they are going to get it." But that's not what he did. He had an attitude of forgiveness, and he reassured them and said, I love you. I forgive you. We're restored to bringing the family back together. Because Joseph made a choice before God to forgive his brothers and to trust God to deal with their right, to make them right. And he entrusted them to God. Instead of him seeking vengeance or revenge, he just let them into the hands of God and let God deal with them. And he chose to forgive or to release it. As I was preparing this week, I come across this definition of forgiveness. It says this: to forgive means that you choose to absorb the pain and loss caused by the other person and they go free, even when they don't deserve it. Forgiveness is costly for the one doing the forgiving. Because see, our natural mind says, "I'm going to make them pay." Forgiveness says, "I pay." And that's what Jesus did on the cross for us, didn't he? He did that for us. It's absorbing the pain by the other person and letting them go free even when they don't deserve it. The brothers didn't deserve it. Do we deserve God's forgiveness when he died for us on the cross? We don't deserve that either. But he freely gave it to us. When God forgives our sins in Christ, it doesn't mean that he brushes them aside. And some people say, oh, the forgiven means that we brush it aside, it's forgotten. No, it doesn't mean God brushes it aside. But it means that Jesus paid the penalty so that we could go free. And Stephen Cole is that definition of forgiveness. So forgiveness means that you no longer bring up the offense or the sin anymore. You release them from that debt and no longer hold it against them. That's what forgiveness means. And that's what Joseph did. He released him of the debt. He no longer held it against them. He no longer was going to bring it up anymore. He said, I'm going to take care of you. We're going to see more of an attitude here yet. But he forgave. He released them of that. He didn't hold it against them. And that's what God does for us. Aren't you thankful that's how he forgives us of our sin? He no longer holds our sin against us. He releases us of the debts and that sins we've committed against him. And he lets us go free because he paid the price for us on the cross. That's the power of forgiveness. And we're going to see what that means personal a little bit later here. But the attitude of forgiveness, to forgive, means to set it aside. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to look at some verses here. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 21 through 22. Peter writing to the church as they were going through suffering, and they were suffering unjustly. They were being treated wrongly for being believers, and they were being persecuted for their faith. It was unjust treatment. How were they to respond to that? Peter said, to this you had been called, verse 21, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin. There was no deceit in his mouth, but when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Jesus, when he was mistreated, when he was threatened, when he was sinned against, when he was put on the cross, when he was spit upon, when he was humiliated, stripped of all his clothes, everything they did to him, they hung him on the cross, and the first words he said was, Father, let them have it. Right? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't realize what they're doing. And Peter said, he gave us the example of what we are to follow in his steps. Is that easy to do, friends? Is it easy to forgive when we want to get even? What is easy for Joseph? It wasn't easy for any of us, but when we yield to the power of Christ and the Spirit, he enables us to have an attitude of forgiveness. And reconciliation can't take place. Broken relationships can't be restored until there is first an attitude of forgiveness. That's where it begins. And it doesn't mean we wait for the other person. Notice Joseph didn't wait for his brothers to say, man, I'm really sorry I sold you into slavery. He didn't wait for them. He said, it's okay, I forgive you. He didn't even wait for them to say that. And that's what forgiveness does. In Philemon verse 18, Philemon only has one chapter. But if you know anything about the book of Philemon, it's a book, that personal letter that Paul had written to one of his friends, Philemon, who had a slave whose name was Onesimus. And Onesimus had run away from him and escaped and went to Rome. And while in Rome, he met Paul. And Paul led him to the Lord, and he became saved, and he became a brother in Christ. And now Paul's writing the letter back to Philemon, sending Onesimus back and asking Philemon to receive Onesimus and forgive him for what he had done against him. And we get to verse 18. In this book, and Paul says, if he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. Again, that willingness of forgiveness of we pay. We accept that and let the people go free. Let the person who offended us go free. And we see that here in the scripture. So how do you respond, and what is your attitude when someone says something unkind to you, when someone treats you harshly, when you are mistreated? All of us are hurt by other people. People say things that hurt us, that hurt our feelings, that mistreat us, are unkind to us. We all go through all that. I mean, that's just a consequence of living in a sinful, broken world and those relationships, and we're all going to be hurt. We're all going to be sinned against. We're all going to be mistreated. How do you respond in times like that? What is your attitude? Sometimes it can come from a total stranger. Someone you don't even know, or a total stranger, can say something to you or do something to you that really upsets you, and how do you respond to them? Sometimes it can come from a fellow church member or a believer. Sometimes another church member can be unkind or say something to you that really hurts. Has that ever happened? That another church member has really hurt you, said something unkind to you about you, and it really hurts, and how do you respond to that? When I was pastoring over at Bridgeville, and the congregation there often said many hurtful and unkind things to Kim and to me. Very hurtful, and that can happen. And those hurtful things, when people say that, how do you respond? Do you get angry? Do you want to get even? I remember the one Sunday that I announced that I was leaving Bridgeville, and the one lady who had given me a lot of problems come out that Sunday, and she shook my hand and she said, "You have a lot of potential. You're just not there yet." And how do you respond to those kind of things? I mean, you can get angry, you can let it fester, and you let it continue to get in your heart and become bitter, or you can release it and choose to forgive. One of the qualities that we look for in the Pastoral Assessment Center is the gift, ability of gifts and graces is forgiveness. And when we're looking and assessing pastors and their wives for ministry, one of the things we look for is that heart of forgiveness. Do they hold bitterness against people? Are they willing to forgive when people say things that are hurtful to us? Sometimes they can come from church members. Sometimes it can even be family members or parents that have said things that have been hurtful to us. Has your parent or even another family member said a hurtful thing to you? It can happen in anger sometimes or frustration. Parents get frustrated with their kids and they say, "Oh, you stupid." And, you know, they say things that hurt and don't realize they're frustrated. They're hurting their kids instead of encouraging them. And how do you respond to that? Do you let it continue to build up and big resentment that causes a fracture? Or do you learn to forgive? I shared with you before when we started the story about Joseph, about my family growing up and the dysfunction within in our family's home. And it's been 29 years ago, I think it is now, when we had Rachel, when we were seeking to adopt Rachel. And you know the story of how we had her, and then we got that call and we had to give her back. And it was hard. It was one of the darkest days of my life. And I remember the pain of that when the lawyer said, "You have to have her back in our office in an hour." And we had just gone through all of that pain and that hurt from that. And my mother said to me, in her wonderful Christian love, said, "The reason why God took Rachel from you is because of the way you treat your dad." And I thought, what? You know, and the hurt from that. But you got to learn, even in those times of hurt, to forgive, and you let it go. You can't let it lodge in your heart, because if you let it lodge there, it can become bitterness, it can become resentment, and it can end up becoming destructive. And getting rid of that. What is your attitude? See, bitterness and resentment and anger in our heart, the scripture says to get rid of that. Forgiveness, friends, does not let them off the hook. Sometimes we think if I forgive somebody, it's going to let them off the hook. No, it doesn't let them off the hook. It lets us off the hook. Forgiveness is for us because it releases that burden from us. It releases that. And we're free then. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that that prisoner was you. And that burden is taken from us. Because bitterness is a root that if you let it grow in your heart and you let it stay there, it's going to grow into an ugly monster that is going to grow up and become destructive in your life. And people have held grudges and resentment for years on something that someone said or did to them, maybe a fellow member, family member, somebody else, and they held a grudge and resentment for years that have ended up causing separation in the family. They don't talk to each other. And friends, life is too short for that. The Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you were still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. One of the things we learned again this week with Marlene's passing is that life is fragile. And if you go to bed with anger and resentment and bitterness in your heart towards somebody, a family member, in the case of Marlene, and you don't wake up in the morning and you haven't dealt with that, what a way to have on your heart. So we need to release that bitterness and that resentment. And the Bible calls it a root, to get rid of the root of bitterness. And those of you, when you're pulling out the roots from your garden and you're pulling out your weeds, isn't it a lot easier to pull out a root before it gets big and entangled around everything? The longer you let that root grow and it gets thicker and gets more entangled, isn't it harder to pull it out then? It's a lot easier to get rid of that bitterness and that resentment right away and release it. So the first attitude towards redemption and bringing back is an attitude of forgiveness. And how do we forgive? Pray, love, and do good to the offender. Don't speak poorly of the offender. Release them from your punishment. Don't celebrate their failures. Treat them the way you want to be treated and stop dwelling in the past. And forgiveness means that you don't bring it up anymore. So second is the attitude of submission. Notice what Joseph demonstrated here when he said to his brothers, don't be afraid. Verse 5, don't be afraid and distressed for angry for selling yourself here, because he said it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. He said, for 2 years now, famine has been in the land, and for the next 5 years, I've been no plowing and reaping, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve a remnant on earth and to save lives. For verse 8, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Three times he told them, guys, it wasn't you. It wasn't your doing. It was God's sovereign plan. And he saw in that God, the plan, and he submitted to the sovereign plan of God. And so, friends, an attitude of that we need to have is that submission. And he didn't blame his brothers. He saw what his treatment and mistreatment as an overall part of the plan of God. Even whenever he was wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife, even when he was forgotten by the butcher and the butler, by the baker and the butler, and all the disappointment he went through, he saw that as all part of the plan of a sovereign God working out his goodness in his life. Because he had learned to submit himself to God. And because of that, enabled him to have the right attitude. It enabled him to keep him from getting bitter. It enabled him to keep him from having resentment. An attitude is submission to the will of God and also to the word of God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is speaking this in the model prayer, giving us an example of how we are to pray, what is to guide our prayer life. We all know it as the Lord's Prayer. But in chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus is teaching us about when we pray for forgiveness. This is what we're to say. Forgive us our debts as we what? As we have forgiven our debtors. In other words, you're praying, Lord, forgive me in the same way I forgive somebody else. So if you're not willing to forgive somebody else, is God going to forgive you? Notice what Jesus goes on to say in verse 14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. So submission, an attitude of submission, means to submit to the word of God. And God calls us and tells us to forgive. We may not feel like it. We may not want to. But submission means we submit to the word of God, whether we like it or not. And he calls us to forgive. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, make an allowance for each other's faults, or you could say frustrations or grievances or the things that frustrate you about someone. You got to make allowance for those and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so what? You must forgive others. An attitude of submission, submitting to his word. So I'm going to be bold here and share what the word of God says. That if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, if you have bitterness in your heart or resentment towards a family member, a friend, a co-worker, someone in the church, anybody, you are living in sin. And you're being disobedient to the word of God, and you're out of the will of God, clearly. And you will not you will not enjoy blessing. You will not experience joy in your life. And if you wonder, well, why don't I have joy in my life? Well, it's because there may be bitterness there. There may be unforgiveness lodging in your heart towards someone, and that joy is not going to be there until you remove it. Why? Because you won't have the favor of the Lord, because you're not living in the center of his will. And we're not living in the center of his will if we're not living in obedience, submission to him. So Joseph here demonstrated that. He said, it's God. I realized it was God's doing, and I'm yielded to him and to his will and to his word. Third attitude of Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and tenderhearted to one another, forgiving each other, just as in God Christ forgave us. God forgave us totally and completely. We are to forgive each other the same way. The third is an attitude of loving kindness. Notice as we go back to the story what Joseph did. Verses 12 through 9 through 13, he says, there's going to be a famine in the land, so I'm going to give you the region of Goshen, the best part of the land. You're going to come and you're going to live with me. I'm going to provide for you there because there's 5 more years of famine coming. Go and get my dad. Bring all your family. I'm going to take care of all of you, and you're all going to live here with me, and I'm going to provide for you for these next 5 years. That's loving kindness. It would have been easy for Joseph to say, you can fend for yourself, I've forgiven you, but there's a famine coming tough. But he said, no, I'm going to give kindness to you, I'm going to show love to you, because that's what God would want me to do, and you're my brothers, and I love you. And he showed loving kindness, even though they had mistreated him, even though they were harsh to him. Romans chapter 12, Paul writing to the church tells us this. Beginning in verse 17, he says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. And this is key. If it is possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In so doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. But verse 21, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. It would have been easy for Joseph to treat his brothers the way they treated him. But he said, no, I'm going to show you kindness. I'm going to provide for you. And Paul says, as far as it is right, do what is possible, do what is right as far as with you. We can't control what somebody else does or how somebody else will respond to us, but we are responsible for our own actions and how we treat somebody else. And he says, don't repay evil for evil. He didn't treat the brothers the way they treated him, but he showed them kindness in return. And one last scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Peter says this. He says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another and be sympathetic. Love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because of this, you were called that you may inherit a blessing. Peter says, don't repay insult with insult. When someone insults you, when someone says something hurtful to you, don't hurt them back. Don't say the same thing, but instead show them kindness. Show them love. It's the attitude of loving kindness, forgiveness that God calls us to. Is that easy? No. But it takes a life of being submitted to the Holy Spirit. And fourth is an attitude of obedience. The scripture ends here by, this chapter ends by Joseph throwing his arms around his brothers and hugging them and kissing them. And out of obedience to the Lord, he fully forgave and accepted them, and the family was restored again to the love and to the presence of the Lord. So how do we respond to that attitude of obedience? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 24, Jesus' teaching on forgiveness and anger says this: therefore, if you are bringing your gift to the altar, or you are coming to worship the Lord, and you're coming into his house, and are coming on a Sunday morning, or you're coming into his presence, and you remember that your brother has something against you, that there's some kind of offense that was committed, it says, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So the Lord says, if you come into my presence and you realize you have something, you haven't forgiven somebody has something against you, and you haven't made it right, he said, before you come into my presence, before you worship, before you do anything else, go make that right, and then come back and worship me. That's obedience. And in order to be reconciled, we need to have that attitude of obedience, forgiveness, submission to the truth of God's word, and release it. So you say, okay, Dan, that's fine. So what's that mean? Well, we're told to forgive one another as Christ forgave you, as Christ forgiven you. When he made the choice, yes or no, am I going to forgive them? He said, yes, I will, and I do. And so obedience means we're to forgive as Christ forgives us. So let's make it personal here. On your pad, on your sermon notes, I have something for you to do as we bring this to conclusion and response. To make this personal to your life. Scripture says, don't just be hearers of the word, but doers as well. To hear it and not put it in practice in our life and let it change us. God wants that change and transformation. So how do we make it personal? Well, we're called to forgive. And who are we to forgive? We're to forgive those who hate, use, despise, neglect, disrespect, or mock us. We're to forgive because God requires it, not because they're sorry. They may never apologize. They may never say they're sorry. The brothers didn't. But Joseph forgave because it was the right thing to do and because God calls us to. And we are to forgive when we're tempted by the lure of revenge. When we want to get even, we want to make them pay, but we are still to forgive because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And you think the Lord can judge them far better than us? He can. He can take care of those things far better than us. So don't play God and leave it in his hands. So how do we make it personal? And right now, I want everybody to take your paper out and put it in front of you with a pen or a paper and a pencil. First question, I want you to answer this. Who do I need to forgive? I'm sure every one of us has someone in our life. And you say, I can't think of anybody. The Holy Spirit brought that person to you. Maybe when you think of that person, you get knots in your stomach. Maybe you think of that person, you get tense. But you know who that person is. The Holy Spirit's brought that to you. You know who it is. You don't have to think hard. So I want you to write that name down. Who do I need to forgive right now? Who is that person that I have not released to the Lord and released that to? Okay, got that? Everybody got that name? Maybe there's more than one. Maybe there's several. The next one, what action do I need to take? What is the Lord telling you to do? What, maybe you need to go and make a phone call today. Maybe as soon as the service is over, you realize, I got to call this person. I got to apologize and make it right. Maybe it's you got to sit down and write a letter. Maybe you need to go to somebody in this church and to make it right with them before you leave. But what action do you need to take right now or to make that right with that person? Write that down. Maybe it's one, maybe it's several. And then third, when am I going to do it? Because often we say, I need to do this, but we just let it, we slip and don't let it go. So be intentional to put down a date. When am I going to do that? When am I going to take this action? When am I going to make this call? When am I going to ask this person to forgive me? When am I going to write the letter? Or when am I going to do it? No, don't let this day go without making it right. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. We're not guaranteed of another day. So Joseph's story of how he restored and forgave his brothers is a beautiful example to us of how we are to forgive and to release and to leave it into the hands of the Lord. May the Lord work in us. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God also in Christ forgave you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the power of forgiveness. We thank you, first of all, that you forgave us in our sin when we didn't deserve it. That your love that knows no bounds and limits was greater than all of our sin. And that you chose to release that debt and obligation from us and take it upon yourself so that we could be set free. And Lord, you no longer bring those debts or offenses up against us anymore. That when you forgive, your forgiveness is total and complete. You no longer hold it against us. You no longer throw it in our face. But it is buried in the forget sea of your forgetfulness forever. Lord, help us to forgive in the same way. That those who have hurt us, maybe it was a spouse, maybe it was a loved one, maybe it was a family member, it was a church member, it was a stranger, someone we don't even know. But Lord, help us not to let that root in bitterness and resentment towards them. But Lord, help us to release that as you have released our sins. And Lord, you have forgiven us, as you said in your word, a multitude of, you told the story of how you forgave the man a multitude of a whole bunch of debt that he could not repay, and that he was not willing to forgive a small debt owed to him. And Lord, that's a picture of us. Lord, often you have forgiven us of our sin, and you want us to, we want you to forgive us of our sin, but sometimes we're not willing to forgive others of the offenses against us. And Lord, we need to forgive as we've been forgiven. And Lord, we're commanded to do that by your word. So may we have an attitude of forgiveness, submission, kindness, and obedience. Because in that, that restores and reconciles us in that right relationship with you. And it reconciles us in that right relationship to those around us. So Lord, I pray for each one here today and the names that was written down on the papers today. And Lord, I pray that you will work in the heart of each one here today to make those relationships right, to release and forgive those who need to be forgiven. Maybe it's even somebody who is no longer living, and sometimes we have to live, forgive people who died, but just release them of that we still carry within us. But Lord, I pray that that business will be done this day. We'll take that seriously. That you'll transform with work within us. That there's nothing between us or you, or nothing between us and anyone else. That our lives, Lord, will be glorifying to you. That we live in your favor and your blessing. Lord, help us to be obedient and submissive. Not hearers only, but doers as well of your word. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.